Kingsport Sovereign Grace Church, located at 905 Yadkin Street in Kingsport, Tennessee, would like to invite you to listen to a message of sovereign grace by their pastor, Gabe Stonecker. And now, Pastor Gabe Stonecker.
Our message today is going to come from 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 2 says, "For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified." What a wonderful verse of Scripture that is. What a wonderful declaration that is. The Apostle Paul said, "I determined, I've made up my mind, not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified, period." Period. That is a very important verse of Scripture. It's an important verse of Scripture to me. It's an important verse of Scripture, period. It very simply declares what the message of the gospel is. If you want to get to the heart of the gospel, that's it right there. And by God's grace, that is all that we will ever know and preach and believe. If He is gracious to us, and if He reveals His gospel to us, that will be our message. That will be what we cling to. Paul said he was determined not to know and not to preach anything other than Jesus Christ crucified, because in verse 1, if you look at the verse in front of it, he said, "I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God." He said, that's what I declared to you, the testimony of God. And he said in verse 2, "For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified." That is the testimony of God. Sometimes men and women will stand up in front of each other and give their testimony. That's something that men and women like to do from time to time. And they are giving their word of truth. That's what they're giving. They're giving their record of good news. Well, God has given His testimony. God has given His record of truth. He has given His word of good news. What is it? Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That's what it is. 1 John 5, verse 9 says, "God has given us the testimony of His Son." That's God's testimony. If you look at chapter 1 right here, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 6, it says, "Even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you." Christ Himself is God's record. He is God's word. He is God's witness. He is God's truth. We speak of the Word of God. Christ is the Word of God. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. The Word was made flesh. We speak of the truth. Christ said, "I am the truth." Christ is God's testimony of good news. And Paul said, for that reason, "I've determined not to know anything else." Nothing else. And not to preach anything else but Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Now, what I want for us to see today is Jesus Christ crucified is the entire Word of God. What is all of it saying from the first page to the last page? Every book, every chapter, every verse, every word, what is it pointing to? Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I don't want to come to you with any excellency of speech this morning, just like the Apostle Paul said. All I want to do is show how all of the Word of God is speaking of Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Now, somebody will hear that. Somebody will hear Paul say, and I say it with Paul, by God's grace, somebody will hear that I don't want to preach anything. I don't want to know anything except for Jesus Christ and Him crucified. They're going to hear that and say, well, what about the rest of the Word of God? You mean that's all you're going to preach every time you get up into the pulpit? That's all you're going to preach on? You're just going to speak on Jesus Christ and Him crucified? What about the rest of the Word of God? What about the Old Testament? Turn with me, if you would, to Luke chapter 24. Over in Luke 24, this is a wonderful word from our Lord. And in Luke 24, verse 26, the Lord Jesus Christ said, ought not Christ to have suffered these things? They were speaking of Him dying on the cross. The disciples were sad because they said, we thought He was our Redeemer and our Savior, but He died on the cross. They didn't understand. And the Lord said, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into His glory? And beginning at Moses, it says, beginning at Moses, Moses wrote Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. Beginning at Moses and all the prophets of the Old Testament, He expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning Himself. Now, I don't know if your Bible is like mine, but I have a center margin in my Bible, a center reference. And where it says beginning at Moses, it lists scripture after scripture in Genesis and Numbers and Deuteronomy. Beginning at Moses and all the prophets, it gives me Isaiah, many scriptures in Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea, Micah, Zechariah, Malachi. Beginning at Moses and all the prophets, just scripture after scripture, He expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning Himself. And then right here in verse 44, He said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Me. Every time you see the word Lord, every time you see the word God, who is that talking about? Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. Isaiah said a son is going to come forth. A child is going to be born. A son is going to be given. The government's going to be on His shoulders. What's His name? Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God. Not just God's Son. The Mighty God, the Everlasting Father. What's His name, this child that will be born? The Everlasting Father, that's His name. The Prince of Peace, that's His name. So, Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Every word of the Scripture points to Him. And I love how it says in verse 45 right here, then opened He their understanding that they might understand the Scriptures. And when God sends His Spirit to a person and gives life to them and quickens them spiritually, that's what they understand. They understand the Scriptures. They see Christ crucified in all the Scriptures. Verse 46, He said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. That's what He opened their understanding to in all the Scriptures. Verse 47, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. He said, you're witnesses of these things. So all of it speaks of Jesus Christ and him crucified. There's an old story that I love so much. It's a story of a young man who was called on to fill the pulpit for the pastor who was away. This young man was called on to preach. And he studied for it, and when the Sunday morning came, he stood up in the pulpit and delivered his message. And after the message was over, he stepped down from the pulpit and he went up to an elder there in the church, and he said, what did you think of my message? And the elder said, I thought it was a very poor message. And the young man was shocked. He said, poor? Why did you think it was poor? Did you think my delivery was no good? He said, no, your delivery was fine. He said, well, did you think I didn't put in the time to study? And he said, no, clearly you put the time in to study. He said, well, why did you think my message was poor? The elder said, your message was poor because Christ wasn't in it. And the young man said, well, Christ wasn't in the text. The elder said, son, in every portion of Scripture, there is a road that leads to Jesus Christ and him crucified. And our business is to find that road and get on it. And that's the truth. If we're going to preach the word in truth and in sincerity, we are going to preach Jesus Christ crucified in all the Scriptures. All things point to him. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things? Didn't the Scripture declare that he would and that he must? All of this word speaks of what it calls the mystery of godliness. How God, I want us to understand that. God himself on the throne, God was manifest in the flesh. His name is Lord Jesus Christ. The word Lord means sovereign. If you look up the definition of the word Lord, it means sovereign. It means ruler, controller, God. That's what it means. That's his name of deity. Jesus means man. It's his name of humanity. Christ means both. 100% God, no less. 100% man, no less. The God-man. Christ means he is the God-man mediator. The only mediator. Lord Jesus Christ. The only hope for sinners. All of this word speaks how the just God. God is holy. God is just. God must do what's right. He can by no means clear the guilty. He's holy. He's just. All of this word speaks of how the just God made himself to be the just Savior of his sinful people. Just and justifier. The Lord Jesus Christ crucified. If you look with me at 1 Timothy chapter 3, it says in 1 Timothy 3 verse 16, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. God came down. And it says he was justified in the Spirit. He walked this earth and the Spirit looked at him and said, perfect. No sin, only righteousness. The Spirit descended like a dove, landed on him and said, absolute perfection. And it goes on to say, he was seen of angels. He was seen of angels when they announced his birth. He was seen of angels when they strengthened him after he was tempted in all points like as his people were. He was in the wilderness for 40 days, tempted. He was seen of angels when he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. And he was seen of angels when they rolled the stone away from the tomb and he walked out of it. So it says, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory. That is the testimony of God. How Christ came and gave himself to be the sacrifice for the sin of his people. And because he willingly offered himself to the judgment of God, that judgment had to be satisfied. And because he died under that judgment with his death for a payment, in his death, that sin debt is paid. And his people are free. Because he died, they live. And because he finished the payment, he lives. He satisfied the payment, so he lives. God raised him from the dead. Outside of Christ, when men die, they die eternally because they'll never be able to satisfy the payment. But Christ did. And he arose, and he lives, and he has taken his rightful place on the throne of his glory. He went right back to the throne that he humbled himself from. That's the testimony of God. And that's what all of the Word of God speaks of, every bit of it. When Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, the Lord slew an animal. And he covered Adam and Eve in the skins of that animal. That's Jesus Christ crucified. Another died in their place. They sinned against God, and another, someone else, died in their place. And through that death, God covered their sins. That's Jesus Christ crucified. In the days of Noah, when God literally rained down his judgment on this earth in the form of rain, it all fell down. Everything in the earth died. Everything except for Noah and his family and whatever was inside that ark. That ark bore the judgment for Noah, his family, and whatever was inside that ark. That's Jesus Christ crucified. God rained down his judgment on Noah. God rained down his judgment and his wrath on Noah's family and everything that was inside that ark. But that ark was their covering. That ark was their hiding place. That ark was their safety. That ark was made to be their mediator between God and man. And because of that, they lived. In him they live. That's Jesus Christ crucified. That's what that is. In Exodus, the Passover lamb. I'm sure you know the story of the Passover lamb. That's Jesus Christ crucified. God said that the firstborn male in every house is going to die because of sin. He said, but if you have a substitute who will die for your house instead of your firstborn, he said, when I see the blood of that substitute, I'll pass over you. Your debt will be paid. I'll be satisfied. That's Jesus Christ crucified. In Leviticus, you may have heard the story of the scapegoat. I won't go into the details, but there's a story of a scapegoat, and they would take this scapegoat, and the priest would symbolically lay all the sins of the people on that scapegoat. And then a fit man who represents the law, who represents justice, would lead that scapegoat far away to a place where that goat could never return. That's Jesus Christ crucified, the one who bore the sins of his people and took them to a place where those sins can never return from. Christ crucified. In the book of Numbers, I'm sure you've heard of a story of the serpent on the pole. Moses and the children of Israel, they were out in the wilderness, and the people were being bitten by deadly snakes because of their sin. It's always because of their sin, and they were dying. And God told Moses to make a serpent of brass that looked just like the snakes they were being bitten from. And he said, you put that on a pole and you lift it up. And he said, you tell the people to look to that serpent on the pole. And if they look, they'll live. They won't die. What he said was, you take the very thing that's killing them and lift it up on a pole. And he said, if they look, they'll live. If they see their death being right there, they'll live. That is Jesus Christ crucified. Christ, why was Christ crucified? Here's the reason. It's because he was made to be what was killing us. Our sin. Made to be the very thing. He was made to be the sin of his people. And our Lord plainly said in John chapter 3, verses 14 and 15, he said, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He said in John 12, 32, if I be lifted up, men and women will live. He said, look unto me, look unto the Christ of the cross, and be ye saved. Christ crucified. The smitten rock. If you've heard the story of the smitten rock that Moses struck with his rod because of the murmuring sin of the people, that rock was Jesus Christ crucified, smitten by the justice of the law so that life might flow out of it for the people of God. In Deuteronomy, there's a story of the city of refuge. If any man has sinned, there is a place of safety. There's a place to hide from the wrath to come. That's Jesus Christ crucified. In the book of Joshua, Rahab's scarlet line, you may know that story of Rahab, that blood red scarlet line, that token of promise, that binding covenant. When we see that scarlet line, we'll spare your house. That line, the only way of escape, they were let down through that scarlet line. That's Jesus Christ crucified. His blood being the only way of escape. In the book of Ruth, there's a story of Boaz, the kinsman redeemer, the only man who had the right and the ability to redeem, to buy back Ruth and Naomi and everything that they had. That's Jesus Christ crucified. Our kinsman redeemer. Job said, I know that my redeemer liveth. Who is he talking about? Jesus Christ crucified. Job is considered to be the very first book ever written. Speaking of Jesus Christ crucified. David, sparing the life of Mephibosheth. If you know that story of Mephibosheth, he said, I'll spare his life for Jonathan's sake. Representing Christ. For Christ's sake. Jesus Christ crucified, as God for Christ's sake has spared us. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego being delivered from the fiery furnace. Daniel being delivered from the lion's den. It's all Jesus Christ crucified. Jonah in the belly of the whale. Jesus Christ crucified. Our Lord said that's the only sign that'll be given. Hosea taking this horrible woman, Gomer, to be his wife. That's Jesus Christ crucified. Zechariah said, the righteous branch is coming. Malachi said, the Son of Righteousness with healing in his wings is coming. That's Jesus Christ crucified. Matthew said, he's here. Call his name Jesus, for he shall save. Call his name Emmanuel, because God is with us. The prophets said, he's coming. The Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John said, he's here. And now the entire New Testament, all the epistles, all the apostles say, he's coming again. Who's coming again? Jesus the Christ who was crucified. If you look with me at Revelation chapter 1, last book of the New Testament, verse 1 says, the revelation of Jesus Christ. Most people think this is the revelation of Armageddon. It's not. This is the revelation of Jesus Christ. What about Jesus Christ? What does this book reveal? Look at verse 5. From Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Jesus Christ crucified. The entire Word of God speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ crucified. Our Lord from the cross cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And it's because our sin was laid on him. For our sake, God forsook his own son. For our sake, God slew his own son that we might live. He was made to be our sin that we might be made to be the righteousness of God in him. It pleased the Lord to bruise him. Why was he crucified? Because it pleased the Lord to bruise him. That's what God predetermined for to be done. So in this one event, we see all the love of God for his people. We see the grace of God to his people. We see the mercy of God to his people. We see all of the mystery of godliness. We see all of the Word of God. It's the foundation and the basis of the gospel. It is the message. And my prayer is that God will give us eyes to see it in all of his Word. My prayer is that God will, by his grace, make us determined to know nothing among each other save Jesus Christ in him crucified. May God reveal that to us through his Word. Amen.
You have been listening to a message by Gabe Stonecker, pastor of Kingsport Sovereign Grace Church in Kingsport, Tennessee. If you would like a copy of this message or to hear other messages of Sovereign Grace, log on to our website at ksgctn.org. If you would like to come and worship with us, our service times are Sunday morning Bible study at 10 o'clock a.m., worship at 10:45 a.m., and 6 o'clock p.m., Wednesday evening at 7 p.m. Please tune in next week for another message of God's free and sovereign grace.